Melanie Rubin for Parenting Aces. We're here at the beautiful Stowe Stadium, and we're hoping that the rain will hold off. We've had two major rain delays today, but we're going to get the courts back moving and in action very shortly. I have with me right now...
Yeah, it's Chuck Creasy, and Lisa, we know you very, very well, of course, and I'm trying to keep up with Lisa's great show with the American Tennis Program that we did also today.
And Chuck, I understand that you're part of the USTA's National Tennis and Sportsmanship,
Tennis and Sportsmanship
Committee.
Right.
Why don't you tell us about that and what's going on?
Well, we've got some great people on, of course, on the committee, and of course, they pretty much set the tone for what happens and how things are done. And it's been a busy year. Of course, the most controversial thing has been how many kids are allowed at the junior events. And of course, most parents were very, very upset that we had so many parents or so many spots dropped in our national events. Like Kalamazoo has been 196, and it's going to, I believe, go back down to 190 with a qualifier. Now, these, just like everything else, things on the outside, they look a certain way, and people are passionate, and they really believe that they want things that are best for their youngsters. The overall view, though, you've got two big goals that people need to understand with USTA Junior Tennis. We have participation goals. Everybody wants the numbers to come up. But at the same time, we have performance goals. So these don't have to be mutually exclusive. They can be inclusive. But it really, in general, if you look at the younger age groups, probably participation goals have a higher priority. And so does that mean that you don't have... performance goals? No, it doesn't mean that. So therefore, if you only have exclusively participation goals, then you're really not reaching those kids who really are out and running when they are 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. You know, you need to have something that allows them to run to the front of the pack as well. So everybody knows that debate. There's been a big debate on the green ball things, you know, and stuff with, you know, holding the kids back with the green balls and whether they should be able to use regular balls when they play and stuff. But basically the younger age groups before puberty should be participation driven, probably, I'd say 60-40, 60 or 70, 60-40 or 70-30. And by the time kids get to be 14 or 15, we definitely need to move towards performance objectives. And where we mess up, I think, is when we keep pulling our top kids back into participation objectives when they get a little bit older. We ought to let the top dogs run. In other words, we need to let the cream rise. Now, with the exception of maybe high school tennis and some places where you're getting kids involved in tennis at 16, 17, 18, which is rare, probably ought to be 80 or 90% performance. Which means, do we really need the back draws in these tournaments? We had 51 kids pull out of the back draws last year at Kalamazoo. Well, they didn't used to, though. Melanie, they did not used to pull out because we didn't have the point system that we have now. We used to have the star system where head-to-head mattered a lot. So if your son, who's a great player, loses or lost in the main draw, he would never think of pulling out of the back draw because a loss was a loss. It would cost him. And every kid would stay in the back draw because they would get a shot at your son. So if you beat a great player in the front draw or the back draw, it was equally important. The point structure now, it helps participation goals into older age groups. It does not help performance. So therefore, we are breeding mediocrity. We are pulling back our great players into the mediocre pool. We might be with participation goals, we bring the weaker players in, but we have mediocrity, and we don't need that. And our player development needs to be pushing our top kids out running. And how do we do that? But also get a lot of kids participating. I believe it's younger age groups, more participation. So that's just part of, that's one of the many things we're talking about.
Now, earlier you were telling me a little bit about 10-point tiebreak and those sorts of things.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's one of my pet peeve. And if you listen to my radio show, American Tennis with Chuck Creasy on Wednesdays, Lisa knows. And Lisa, I'm glad to finally be on your show. I'm glad. Lisa's awesome, and she's got the most listened to show of all of the Your Tennis Network shows. But what I know through the coaching, the 40 years now of competitive coaching, you know, and all the years of the thousands and thousands of matches that I've coached, is that one of the biggest self-sabotage things that we have done in tennis is to introduce these 10-point tiebreakers. And most people say, well, okay, it's exciting, or it's pressure, or this or that. Tennis is not like that. A 10-point tiebreaker would be like two great boxers boxing, and then in the seventh round, one is ready to go into the ropes, and they say, stop, stop, everybody fight now for 30 seconds, and let's see who wins. So, as I know, your son makes people suffer on the tennis court. He knows how to play tennis. As his shot making gets better, he will be better. But however, most of his matches, he might lose a first set, and it might take him an hour and 10 minutes to deliver enough body punches to where the other kid is leaning against the ropes. At that point, he's lost the first set. Maybe the other kid tanks the second set. And then they say, let's play a tiebreaker for the third set. And maybe your son loses 3 out of 10 matches that he should have won because of a 10-point tiebreak. Those 3 out of 10 matches are bouts you don't need to lose. Tennis is like boxing. You cannot take losses when you don't need to take losses without it damaging your, you know, you learn from your losses and all this, but at the same time, there's a psyche that the top players need to move forward with. And we've, and I don't want to say bastardized, is bastardizing too hard? Can I say that? Lisa, can I say that? It's the bastardization.
You can say it, just not four times.
With our scoring system. But it's the greatest self-sabotage we've done. So, you know, I brought up things like, let's think of something better. The problem is that we need to have shorter matches sometimes, maybe. Like on rain delay. So let's, okay, so if we're going to use 10-point tiebreaker, think about this. Play the 10-point tiebreaker first set. That way, every deciding set would be a full set. That allows